how great it is to worship the Lord. Amen. How y'all doing? Great. Y'all cool? Yeah. So do you think this is a trend, this coolness? Or do you think it's going to get hotter? How many of you believe it's going to stay cool? All right. They have faith. They have faith. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone believes in something. Everyone believes in something, or they believe in someone, or they believe in some philosophy. Even when it comes to the weather, we believe. But we do. We believe in some kind of a philosophy at times. And it's kind of like this Pickles cartoon. I invite you to look at this. Okay, let me clear up a little misconception here. There is no toilet paper fairy. So when you use the last of the toilet paper, it's up to you to change it. Is that clear?
Yep. Don't listen to her. If you stop believing in the toilet paper fairy, she stops coming.
No, there's no toilet paper fairy, guys, so just, you know. But there is God in who wants to meet your every need. And we believe in things that and philosophies that really don't wash when it comes to Scripture. What if I told you today, what if I said to you today that your needs could be met? What if I told you that when you pray, God will definitely hear you? What if I said to you that God will look after your situation, no matter what it is, God will look after it? We've been walking through a series on saving faith, and today we will discover how our needs can be fulfilled, and it is simply through our faith. I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 11, the passage that was read for you, that Mac read earlier, from the Word of God in the Bible, Mark chapter 11. And I invite you to turn there to I'm going to start a little earlier. I'm going to start at verse 20. And that wasn't read for you, but I'll read it for you. Mark chapter 11, I'm going to start at verse 20 there. In the morning as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed is withered." And Jesus answered, he said, "Have faith in God." And then the rest of the passage that was read to you. Have faith in God. Did you know that at times our faith withers? You ever felt your faith just wither? I just love that word, wither. Like, say it with me, wither. I heard two of you. Say it with me, wither. And you said it with just, some of you were like, I think that's because you didn't want to say the word wither, you know. Well, our faith at times withers. And we wonder where our needs will be fulfilled and when they will be fulfilled. Well, let me tell you, fulfilled needs occurs when we believe. Fulfilled needs occur when we believe. Now, you've heard me talk an awful lot about believe. Believing, believe in, believe. The Amplified Version of Mark 11, verse 22, it says, "And Jesus replying said to them, have faith in God constantly." I love that. Constantly. Wait, you know, we're not just supposed to have faith in God when we're over our head or when we've got some disaster. You know, it's kind of like, I have to change the toilet paper. You know, like, we're supposed to mix our faith with everything we do. Everything we do, we need to do with faith. We need to do by faith. We need to do through faith. God gives to every man the measure of faith. Truly, we have faith. Just where? We noted over these past several weeks that God has given us faith, but the enemy tries to wither away our faith through different aspects, through worry and through fear and through doubt and unbelief and through guilt. And all of a sudden our faith just starts to kind of wither away. You know, if you don't have faith, it not only withers you away, but it affects those around you. It affects your kids. I mean, you think about it. They see you walking in faith, they will walk in faith. They see you believe in God, they will believe God and have their needs met. And then their children will, and on and on and on and on. And then friends start noticing what's going on in your life if you're walking by faith. It's a win-win-win when it comes to faith. You can't lose. We don't need, as believers, to be walking withered. You know, it's kind of comical, actually. A fella came to see me because he was quite upset with his son. And he said, his son is not showing me any respect. Just, you know, there's no respect going on here. And I'm really quite disturbed by it. And I need to talk to you about it. And so I said, okay. And so we're chatting away. And I said, well, what is your son, what's going on? And he said, well, my son has been great up till this past week. He said, we were walking along. He said, and there was a fellow, an older fellow, was walking along the street, and he looked just angry and mad and just kind of, and my son said, hey, Dad, look, there goes another Christian. He said, and I found that offensive. And I said, well, you kind of do look a little grumpy. You know, like, if we have joy, the real joy of the Lord, shouldn't we be excited? Amen? And when we're excited, other people want to know what's going on. I want to know what you're up to. Smile. People want to know what you're up to. I mean, that's how it is. What's with you today? You know, you're almost happy as a lark this morning. She's like, woo, hey, whoa. And I said, what happened? What's going on? She said, what do you mean? She said, I'm just rejoicing, and this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I won't tell you what I said. But she's still happy. Because I said, wow, let's try something new now. You know, like, you know, let's be happy and excited. But we question when people are like that. Why are you happy? Why are you smiling? Why are you rejoicing? Didn't you hear what I was going through? Why are you so happy? The Bible says, who will he find in faith when he comes back? Speaking of Jesus, who will Jesus find in faith when he comes back? God is looking for people who will be persistent in faith, who will go through the hard times believing God, and believing God when you don't understand what's going on, and believe God when it doesn't look like it's fair, and believe God when it doesn't make any sense, and believe God when you didn't get it but your friend did. Believe God. Believe God. Believe God. You need to establish that today, that no matter what may happen to you, no matter what people do or say about you, no matter what Satan may hurl against you, you need to say, I am going to believe God. Because if not, like a fig tree, you will wither. And I don't think we want to wither. See, Satan knows that things like fear and guilt and worry, all those things, that they will not help you if he can get you stirred up feeling any of those emotions, and then he knows he's got you disbelieving God. Well, what about? Well, how come? Well, why not? The Message says it this way: Jesus was, matter of fact, embrace this God life, really embrace it, and nothing will be too much for you. This mountain, for instance, just say, go jump in the lake. No shuffling or shilly-shallying. That's a great word. And it's as good as done. That's why I urge you to pray for absolutely everything, ranging from small to large. Include everything as you embrace this God life, and you'll get God's everything. How many of you want God's everything today? I want God's everything. I want God's everything. But yet, there are times where we tend to blame God instead of believe God. Well, I don't know why God wants me to be this way. I'm miserable all the time, and I don't know why. You know, I don't know why God wants me to be always in trouble. I don't know why God wants this to always happen in my life. I don't know why God just can't give me one good day. See? We blame God instead of believe God. You see, do you believe God could put a mountain into an ocean or a lake? Now, before you answer that, think of this. Do you believe God can meet your every need? Do you believe God can look after your suffering? Do you understand that God can take care of your situation? Do you really believe that God can provide what you need so you don't even need to ask Him all the time, God, look after this, 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 and this, because God will look after everything if you let Him do it. You see, if you believe that God can take a mountain and place it in the ocean, don't you think that God can look after your problem and meet your need and give you a fulfilled life? Do you believe God? Say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe God. Some of you may know this, but when we moved to Prince Albert, it was definitely a seller's market. I mean, you know, there was just like five houses in our price range. I mean, we had a great realtor and showing us around, and we went and there were three homes around our price, and there was five homes to view. But so we walked through, and number one we looked at, and it was nice. It wasn't our house. I mean, it just didn't fit us, and higher end of our price. And then we viewed number two, nice home, just kind of mid-range, and a little more than we really wanted to spend. And number three, same thing. Number four, we walked through number four. We fell in love with number four. We just, whoa. We're pointing out everything. Look at the banisters there. There was a, look at the wallboard. Oh, this is beautiful. This is gorgeous. This, wow. You know, walk into the bathroom and it just sparkled. It was just, wow. You ever seen a bathroom sparkle? This was a sparkled bathroom. And we just went, wow, this is a sparkle bathroom. And it, beautiful home. And so I asked the realtor, I said, you know, how much is this one? So when I regained consciousness, I asked her if we could look at another house. And a realtor said, I only have one more house to show you, and that's it. One more home, and that's all. And so we walked into that house, and it was exactly the same layout as the home that we fell in love with. And it was the cheapest house out of the five. And that's where we live today. And we knew that God gave us that house. We knew. We said, okay, this is where God, we prayed about it. We just knew God wants us to have this house. I remember Joan and I, we were praying about it, and I remember the realtor said, well, you should offer this much. So I went $5,000 less, and she said, you know. So I said, well, we're going to go $5,000 less. She said, probably you won't, you know, you probably won't get it. I said, worth a try. Hey, everything worked out great. So we're in our house, and we're moved in, and everything's great, and, you know, we're settled in, and everything's wonderful, and we're enjoying our house, and all of a sudden we get a phone call from our lawyer saying, you got to move your fence. It has to be moved over. What? And so we thought, okay, now all of a sudden we have to move the fence. And our neighbors were overjoyed because they lost some of their property. They were going, what? You're moving your fence? Yeah, we're moving our fence. And then we moved the fence. We got that done. Our neighbors, we needed to reroute water because all of a sudden we noticed that, hey, flooding is happening in our basement. It's coming through the walls. And then we noticed every spring I installed a pool in the backyard. Actually, God did it because it was always a swamp. You know, it would have been easy to say, I guess we shouldn't have done this. I guess we shouldn't have bought this house. I guess God was wrong. I mean, another year our basement was submerged underwater. I mean, that's where I learned how to snorkel. Yeah, Joe, my shirts are over here. You know. But it would be easy to say, why did we ever buy this place? but we didn't. I mean, there were times where we blamed God. You know, God, you know, you had us buy this home, and now we got this fence problem, and now our neighbors are mad at us. But you know, provided a good time for us to talk to our neighbors, which may never have happened. You know, if you look back and you say, God was through it. He walked us right through it. But I think that's why things don't work out for people, because they don't know how to be steadfast in their faith. Not that we were, but we were learning how. And we make decisions, and as soon as we made a decision, then fear sets in, peace vacates, and we start backing down, backing off, and we become afraid, and we change our mind, and we quit reading our Bible, and we stop praying, and we quit church, and then God can't help us bring it through to the finish line because we don't even know where we believe anymore. Here's the point. If you want to fulfill life, you need to believe God can. God can deal with your situation. God can open doors that are so shut. God can close doors that are open. God can look after every one of your needs, the ones that have passed, the ones that are to come. God can even when you think you can't, God can. Do you believe God can? Fulfilled needs occur when we believe, but they also occur when we forgive. Now, let me read what is next in this passage, because it's so important. Verse 24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it, it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So many people try to have faith. The problem is they've got unforgiveness in their heart. You can't have faith that believes God and a heart that has unforgiveness at the same time. People that are full of bitterness and hurt and unforgiveness, they always come to church. Sometimes they're even mad at the person they came with. You know, sometimes they're mad at the preacher for preaching. You get mad in the parking lot. You drive, park. Or the wrong kind of cookies. Or worse yet, you didn't get any cookies. That's even worse. Maybe you got mad at somebody this morning, or last week, or last month, or maybe 20 years ago. But if there's anything we need to do, we've got to learn to be quick to forgive. It's like this preacher's Sunday sermon. It was on forgive your enemies. And he asked, how many have forgiven their enemies? And about half held up their hands. And he repeated the question. He said, how many have forgiven their enemies? And about now 80% stuck their hands up. He repeated the question again, and everyone responded that they forgave their enemies, except one elderly lady. And so he said, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Jones, she was at the back. Mrs. Jones, are you not willing to forgive your enemies? And Mrs. Jones said, I don't have any. Well, Mrs. Jones, that's very unusual. How old are you? Asked the preacher. She said, 93. Well, Mrs. Jones, please come down in front and tell this congregation how a person cannot have an enemy in the world. And so a little sweetheart of a lady, she taught her down the aisle. She stood down in front, and she turned around to the congregation, and she said, folks, it's easy. I just outlive them all. Lots of reasons we need to walk in forgiveness, but one of the main reasons is your faith won't work if you don't forgive. It's so simple. Message says it this way, and when you assume the posture of prayer, remember that it's not all asking. If you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your Heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. If you have anything against anyone, anything against anyone, Doesn't matter if they deserve it or not. Doesn't matter if it's something little. If you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Let it drop. Leave it. Let it go. In order that your Father that is in heaven may also forgive your failings and shortcomings. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you, your failings, and your shortcomings. Now, I want more than anything to be forgiven. Don't you? You see, my faith will not work if I'm harboring something against someone else. You see, and I think it's interesting that the Bible has scriptures about forgiving people right after instructions about faith, because your faith won't work. He's saying believe God for things, but when you come to believe God for something, you have unforgiveness in your heart against someone, then you're holding unforgiveness toward that person, and it puts a gap between you and God. See, God forgives us. And he expects us to forgive other people. I'm just telling you right now that there's a point in hearing all about how to save your faith if you're coming, but there's no point if you have unforgiveness in your heart. The Bible says just drop it. I'm saying to you this morning, just let it go once and for all. Quit talking about it. Just quit thinking about it. Quit reporting it all to your friends. Just drop it. Quit keeping a record. Bible says in 1 Corinthians, says, keep no records of wrongs. Some of you got records. Some of you mental records. Some of you random. You know, we get into an argument, and you know, poor Joan, because I just, well, remember when, blah, 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 blah. You know, you ever do that? Remember when you, remember this, remember that? Yeah. She'd say, where do you put all that stuff anyway? Man, love takes no account. If you want to save your faith, you got to make your mind up to forgive those whom you have an account against. Well, it's not fair. It may not be fair, but you have not been assigned the job of bringing justice in your life. God has. People hurt people, and things they do aren't right, but we've got to trust God. We've got to trust God. We've got to be in faith that God will work things out. And he will bring justice in our life. And if we've been mistreated, God will make it up to us. Because what we're doing when we're full of unforgiveness is we're trying to take care of it ourselves. And we're saying, I'm going to shut you out of my life so you can't hurt me again. And I'll take care of myself. I will get you back. I will not talk to you. I will not come in the room with you. I will not look at you. I will not be in relationship with you. I'm going to tell you, everybody, what a rotten person you are. That's just the flesh. Trying to bring justice on ourselves. I think you're getting what I'm saying. George Herbert said, he who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. Whew. I like that. That's why when Peter asked, how many times must I forgive my brother? How about 7? Jesus said, how about 70 times 7? 7's God's perfect number. He's just saying how many times it takes. And Jesus was talking about the same thing. How many times must I forgive my brother for the same thing? You want your needs fulfilled? Forgive. Forgive, 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 even to the same person for the same thing. I think Peter is probably dealing with some of the other disciples. I think that's what it was, because he was a mover and a shaker, and John, well, he was probably going, I'm the disciple Jesus loves. I think there's stuff going on there. They got in strife with each other. We know that they did. They were jealous of each other. They had to forgive each other all the time. And Jesus comes along teaching on forgiveness, and Peter says, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Jesus tells a story in Matthew 18 about how this man forgave his servant and who owed him all this money, and the Bible says he could not pay, so his master forgave him. He could not pay! You're trying to collect from someone who many times cannot pay! How can they give back what they took from you? Husband abuses his wife. How can he give back to her what he took from her? Or a child. How can he repair that? Only God can pay you back for that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you one good thing. Here's the good news. God never expects us to do anything he doesn't equip us to do. I want you to get this. God would not expect me to stand up here and preach if he didn't give me a mouth. And he made me all mouth. I mean, that's it. God would not expect Mac or Margaret or Peter or Michelle, many others, stand up here, lead worship, if he didn't equip them with the ability to do that. God never expects you to do anything that he doesn't equip you to do. God does not expect you to go out and forgive other people for their sins and their trespasses against you if he did not first show you how to do that by giving you his forgiveness. I can forgive because I have been forgiven. I have been given forgiveness. I didn't earn it, but I've been given it. So therefore, I can give forgiveness. And when I give forgiveness to others, I'll tell you, when I do that, I believe God has forgiven me when I do that. And then my needs are fulfilled. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you this morning, before we come to this table, is there someone in your heart that you need to forgive? Because see, the calling for this table is a calling. If you have something against someone, forgive him, and you need to do that before you come to this table. Now, it doesn't mean running over and saying, I need to forgive you, I need to forgive you, I need to forgive you. It's just telling God you're going to forgive that person for what they've done to you, for how they made you feel. And that's important, telling God, I forgive this person for how they hurt me and how they made me feel. Talk to God about that right now. Maybe there's several people just pop into your head right now. Or maybe you need to say, God, reveal if there's any unforgiveness in my heart. And God will do that for you. But come to him. Maybe you need to say now, Lord, I believe you, God. I not only believe that you can move a mountain and put it into the ocean, but I believe you can take care of my needs. Maybe you need to tell him that today. Maybe you've been withering, and now is the time to stop withering and start believing. Father, this morning we walked through an awful lot just in this passage of Mark. We realize, God, that we want our needs fulfilled, but at times we have blamed you because they're not. Really, God, it's all in our own heart. Lord, we're the ones that are responsible for our faith. You give it to us freely, but we're responsible for it and how we use it and how we believe. Lord, we know that you equip us to forgive, but there are times where we want to just hold on to that unforgiveness and hold on to that resentment, bitterness, and anger. Father, today may we let it go. May we let it drop. Pray today, God, that as we come to your table, that we come declared worthy by you. Thank you, Lord, that we can. We pray your blessing, Lord, upon us as your people, and we pray, God, that you'll continue to bless us even through this week. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.